Jesus said to his disciples, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Till now you have not asked anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, so that your joy may be complete. I have told you this in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures, but I will tell you clearly about the Father. On that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not tell you that I will ask the Father for you. For the Father himself loves you, because you loved me and have come to believe that I have come from him. I came from the Father and have come into the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It's an extraordinary scene in today's first reading. This Jew named Apollos from Alexandria, that great center of learning that had translated the Bible in the 270s BC into Greek, the Septuagint, he knew it inside out. Here was a person who had discovered that Jesus was the Messiah, and then all of a sudden started to preach boldly how Jesus was the fulfillment of all of sacred scripture. He did so with extraordinary Greek rhetoric, such that eventually he would be put at the same level in Corinth as Peter, Paul, and Jesus himself, so that St. Paul would have to describe to the Corinthians that we're all baptized in Christ, not in Cephas, Paulus, or Apollos. Extraordinary. But as this man is preaching that Jesus is the fulfillment of all the messianic prophecies, he meets in Ephesus Priscilla and Aquila, this married couple who had come to know St. Paul and given him hospitality. He had been preaching, it tells us, accurately about Jesus. But they explained to him the way of God more accurately. Everything that he was saying about Jesus was true, but it was unfulfilled. He hadn't experienced baptism. So in a sense, he hadn't received the fullness of the Holy Spirit. He was preaching somehow by the gift of the Holy Spirit. We can't explain it according to our sacramental theology, but clearly he was. But he needed to be taught more accurately, not intellectually, but according to the way, because the faith is not a classroom. Jesus didn't say, "Take good notes." He said, "Follow me." So they were going to help him follow. Likely what they needed to do is they needed to teach him far more about his divine filiation, about the consequence of the sacraments. They needed to share with him various stories about Jesus, what would now constitute the New Testament. And from there, as soon as he had been taught more accurately, he crosses over in order to go to Achaia, that huge region in northwest Greece, in order to proclaim the gospel there, eventually comes down to Corinth and works wonders. What do we learn from this scene? We learn a few things. First, we always need to be taught more accurately in the way. We may know the faith accurately, but God wants us to continue to grow. We should always be learning from the Master, knowing that we can always get far more accurate. Accurate comes from being attuned to the cure. Cura is the root of that word, that the Lord heals us of all our ignorance as we grow closer. Second thing we learn is we all need our Priscillas and Aquilas. This is a noteworthy thing. He didn't go and sit at the feet of Paul or Barnabas or Silas or Timothy. He went and sat at the feet of lay people who knew the faith far better than he did. And he was docile enough to learn. Today's a day in which we can thank the Lord for all the Priscillas and Aquilas that we have had in our life. Our parents, grandparents, godparents, catechists, formators. friends, fraternal correctors. We can go on. The third is that we're called to be Priscillas and Aquilas for others. We might not be the most learned, but we can help people grow in the way, including those who might be far more eloquent, far more learned. The Lord wants us constantly helping people grow to receive that care, that cura, straight from Him. Today in the Gospel, we see one of the ways in which Jesus wants us to grow more accurately. He wants us ultimately to enter into the very inner life of the Trinity, where we've been hearing about throughout the last week and a half, has been this gospel of the Father's own love. Jesus says to us five different times, just in this Last Supper discourse, ask the Father anything you want in my name, and the Father will give you. Because he wants us entering into his own person in the way that he would ask the Father for everything. He wouldn't just dial 911 to speak to the Father in times of emergency, but he was constantly in communion with the Father throughout, asking him even for the things that he himself could obtain, and talking to the Father precisely about the things he taught us to ask the Father in the Our Father. Beautiful things like the Father's name being hallowed, his will being done, his kingdom coming. Apollo, not having known baptism up until this point, couldn't have really known our sonship in the Son with a capital S. But Priscilla and Aquila, through what they had heard from St. Paul and heard from the Holy Spirit themselves, were able to help him in that way. We are called to grow more accurate in this care that the Father always gives, so that just like Jesus, together with Jesus, we might have the confidence to ask the Father for anything and for everything. Today the Church celebrates a few saints. First, we're celebrating St. Pancras today, 14-year-old martyr under Diocletian. His mom died in childbirth. His father died when he was 8. He was entrusted to an uncle, and they moved to Rome. It was there that he grew more accurate in the faith and was baptized. It would only be 6 years until he would give the supreme witness that he recognized that the way that he was learning would ultimately become a way of the cross, on the way to glory. He wasn't afraid to follow the Lord with the intrepid courage of a young believer all the way. Today we celebrate likewise Blessed Alvaro del Portillo, the successor of St. Jose Maria. You could say so much about Don Alvaro, but what he sought to help tens of thousands do is to grow in their faith through giving them true and deep formation. He was such a humble, indefatigable servant of the Church, participating in so many preparatory commissions for the documents of the Second Vatican Council, and even writing the document on the clergy. Ultimately, he sought constantly to grow in the way, himself having two custodes next to him, one to give him fraternal corrections about temporal matters, the other about spiritual matters. Because he knew how much he needed to grow, even though he was a great theologian. We also celebrate one of the most lovable saints of all time, St. Leopoldo Mandic, who died in 1944, an extraordinary apostle of the confessional, as St. John Paul II said, who was born in modern-day Croatia, Herzegovina, really, and then he eventually spent most of his priesthood hearing confessions in Padova, 12 hours a day, running to penitence, saying, "Don't be afraid, my son or daughter, I am coming." He, in his confessional, would try to fill people with the joy of the Heavenly Father at forgiving a son or daughter, and to help them through their sins to recognize a love that they had not yet encountered, the love of the Lord, who looked at their goodness beyond their sin. Today, through their intercession, as we come here to Mass, we remember that every single time we come to Mass, Jesus wants to give us the gift he gave Apollos. Every single time, without fail, Jesus is here to help us to grow more accurately in the way. Every single one of us. By remembering how much the Father loves us. So much that he gives us his only Son here and now.